Welcome into Author's Corner on Chapter 38, The Three. So this was a really fun chapter to write. I was trying to put myself into the minds of who makes these top-level decisions. And I'll be honest, I don't know who makes these top-level decisions. I imagine there's got to be some very high-level, very powerful, probably very wealthy people who are incredibly intelligent, you know, super high IQ, the tops of their fields of, I don't know, business, medicine, science, politics, people that get together and try to hash out these ideas and then advise the pharmaceutical industry, advise the medical industry, advise the government, advise politicians, what have you. And I kind of see these three people who are totally made up. They're not intended to be any one or two or three people in particular, but I kind of see them as the ones upstairs above the center where Francine works. And yeah, the contact in Carlton's phone is Francine, and she likes to call and get orders from him and give him information whenever needed. But anyway, that's a side plot. I loved doing this at Starbucks, and what kind of inspired that is 6 years ago now, when my partner in crime and I started, routinely getting together to plan and write things and start our website and start our nonprofit organization and then start our podcast, we would always meet in a Starbucks. Occasionally we met in restaurants, but for the most part it was Starbucks. And I kind of imagined, is there anyone actually, from the pharmaceutical industry spying on us here and listening in on our conversations or pointing directional mics at us and eavesdropping? Or I even wondered, are any of them meeting here and don't even know who we are? Am I going to see, some of the high ups in the vaccine industry sitting at a table next to us having some sort of meeting? So it kind of set the stage for this chapter as thinking, what if such people as the three were to just simply meet like this, and what would they be like? Of course, one of them would be an extremely intelligent woman who's probably the smartest of the group, but she'd be old school. They'd all be older. The men would be gentlemen. And I don't know. You can kind of decide for yourself if there are three or more very sort of elderly, very wealthy, very powerful, very philanthropic, very public leaders in our world who are often on social media trying to steer things. And maybe that's who makes up the three. I don't know. But I've tried to think, what would be the long-term strategy of the pharmaceutical industry? And because I almost ultimately feel like it's pharma who the three are working for. It's not the government. It's really pharma that is leading this, because as you know, they donate tons and tons of money to people. And I've tried to think, what is their long-term strategy? Because if I can discover their long-term strategy, then it helps me know how to counter that strategy. If their strategy is mandates, if their strategy is maintaining the status quo and letting vaccines be a free choice for everybody, then I have no beef with them. But since they've already crossed that line, there is a battle. They fired the first shot by making vaccines mandatory, and so we have to fight back. Anyway, I digress. So I tried to think, are they going to allow the status quo, which basically means kind of leave things the way they are, don't really push for mandates, keep vaccines optional, and, you know, let some of the politicians maybe push for some school mandates, continue the employer mandates, you know, kind of the way things are now. And I got to tell you, I don't see them taking that strategy. I mean, that's almost the strategy I wish they would take, because then it sort of stays an easier fight. But I don't think they'll take that strategy, because I think they lose in the long run. Because as Madeline said in this chapter, they are losing ground. Vaccine confidence is waning. It's on the decline. More and more families are seeing that it might be healthier to raise an unvaccinated child. And vaccine injury awareness is on the rise. And that's all spurred on by the mandates that people are pushing, so that everyone's becoming louder and more public. So as long as pharma is just kind of sitting back and letting things happen, and they just kind of maintain the vaccines are safe and effective and vaccines save lives, since more and more of the public are realizing that part of that statement is true, but part of that statement may not be true, that I just think they're going to keep losing ground and they're not going to sit back and let that happen. So I kind of feel like pushing for mandates is really pharma's only play, which is option two. All right. So I don't think they're going to go with option one. I think option two is risky, pushing for more mandates. And it's interesting, you know, to answer Carlton's question, which choice would actually be right in the true sense of the word right? Like the altruistic definition of right, it would be number three. Come to the table, let's admit the problems, and let's fix the problems. But that's not the right that Carlton or the three are looking for. My definition of right would be, let's figure out what the healthiest, safest decision would be for America and the world when it comes to vaccines that results in the healthiest children, young adults, older adults, communities, societies, world. You know, what decision results in the healthiest world? Forget all the money, forget all the politics. What vaccination choice would result in the healthiest humans worldwide? To me, that's the right that we're searching for. That's the truth we're searching for. Unfortunately, pharma's truth is basically what right approach would result in 100% vaccine compliance. So they're not going to come to the table to fix it. They're just not. That admits too much. I mean, it's just like you never see any politician admitting a mistake. You don't see them ever admitting they're wrong. You know, everyone wants transparency, and people are demanding transparency in a whole, you know, variety of different aspects of our culture. But when it comes to vaccine safety, transparency would be a death blow to the vaccine system. It really would. You know, look what they're doing with COVID vaccine. There are, as of this recording, 1,000 reports of fatal reactions or of fatal adverse events after COVID vaccine. And many of these fatal adverse events are within 48 hours of the shot. And pharma and the government and the medical industry, they have the opportunity to come forward and say, yes, this is tragic. This is serious. We're sorry this is happening. It's rare, but it's real. And as a society, we have to try to work to figure out why some people have fatal reactions to COVID vaccine and how we can fix it. Meanwhile, there's the pandemic and we just have to keep vaccinating, but we admit there's the tiny little problem and we're going to work to fix it. That would be sort of the right way to approach this. Do you hear a single entity in power making anything close to that kind of statement? No. It's all 60-year-old doctor dies 2 days after they get the shot, and no link to vaccine found, or link to vaccine not suspected, or no proven link to vaccine. That's what you see in the media. So we're not going to get transparency, you guys. And I love the quote from the British Medical Journal from Doshi, and you could probably find that quote. I don't have the resource listed in the book, I'm sorry, but you could probably find it. It's not that old. He's saying, you know, the current approach of zero transparency is as unhelpful as an anti-vaxxer approach that assumes all vaccines are harmful. Again, basically taking the approach that all vaccines are completely safe and that's all the public is getting is that one-sided strategy that's as unhelpful as the anti-vaxxer strategy. So you guys, they're not going to come to the table. They're not going to come to the peace talks. So that basically leaves option two. I believe, and I'm very unhappy about this belief, but I believe their only option is to not only keep pushing for school mandates, but to keep pushing for mandates, period. Basically, mandates to be a human. I think it'll take a long time. I think they'll first succeed in passing school mandates everywhere. I mean, yeah, we might be safe in Republican states for a number of years, maybe even decades. But pharma can't sit back and let people keep making a free choice on this. They can't, because more and more people are choosing to opt out. You know, it's never a winning strategy and just sit back and do nothing. All right, if you're like at a stalemate, you know, you can't just sit there and then let the stalemate happen when the other side is gaining a little bit of ground, because they'll eventually beat you. You have to fight back. You have to go on the offensive. And the only offensive at their fingertips, guys, is mandates. So for me, I guess that's kind of where my passion comes in. My passion that I'll spend the rest of my life doing is to help parents find that truth, that altruistic definition of what is the right choice for your child and your community and your family and your neighbors and your friends. And what is the right choice? And then how can you live that right choice, and how you can be an ambassador of that right choice to those around you, and how you can demonstrate how your family and your kids are healthy, they're smart, they grow up to be outstanding members of society. And, you know, the end of this chapter, it's interesting, you know, James kind of jokingly says, oh, well, yeah, let's let all those people have their free choice and let's see, you know, what happens with them. If they really are healthier and smarter, they'll grow up to become our leaders and take everything over, and they'll fix the system. Or if pharma is right, all those kids will die of infectious disease and everyone will start vaccinating. But the three are intelligent. I don't think they're stupid. I think they partly believe that 100% vaccination will result in the healthiest society and the healthiest world. I think they partly believe that. But I wonder if underneath that, they have this sort of nagging suspicion that what if the other people are right? And I'm not sure if they have the guts to find out. So I think Carlton and Madeline and James are going to go with something like Plan 2.1. Keep pushing for school-based mandates, employer-based mandates, insurance-based mandates. Keep pushing for that until they've gone as far as they can, so that vaccines are mandatory worldwide to be an equal citizen. And then we'll still have some unvaccinating families. And then the next step is to make them all vaccinate, make them mandatory. And so, you know, I think at some point along the line, our people who are raising their kids healthy need to try to get a big enough chunk of our society to be in that group. So that's kind of where I'm at with my strategy right now, is if our people can get enough of the middle ground, pro-vaccine but pro-freedom people to stand up against mandates, if we can stop school mandates, I think that's where we win. And the only way to do that is to make 20% of society be against mandates, or 50% of society be against mandates, or 51%. If we can get enough people to be against mandates and start researching vaccines, then that's how we win this. We someday get the public to see that pharma has too much power. They have too much influence over the government. The only way to change that would be to basically stop allowing all industries to donate money to the government. I mean, it's not just pharma, guys. It's every industry has the ability to buy their local and their federal government officials. So if we're ever going to win this, you guys, we don't ever win it until we change that part of our system and get our elected officials to make all their decisions based on the altruistic definition of right and not the how do I get reelected definition of right. We have to change that with all industries, including pharma. Then we get people to no longer be under the yoke of pharma influence and people start making free choices. Dude, am I starting to sound a little crazy? You can get crazy if you think too much about this. So, you know what? I'm just going to keep writing my stories. That's what I love to do. I'll keep casting. I'll keep talking. And I'll keep doctoring as long as I can. And that's all I can do. That's what I love doing. And I'll keep doing it. So I'll see you on the next corner. And I think the next corner is a beer with two pediatricians. So I guess if you had to pick like two pediatricians that were a direct contrast to the three, or a direct contrast to Francine, it would be these two guys. So you'll meet them in the next chapter and you might learn about more what they think is the right answer. We'll see you on the next corner.